I believe that what I'm about to share with you here in this episode of the Health Ranger Report may be one of the most profound realizations of the year for you. At least I hope it is. It took me many days to really get this straight in my own head so that I could describe it in the most meaningful and impactful way. And this, if you truly understand what I'm about to share with you here on the show, this will forever change your view of reality. And here it is. I'll introduce it here, and then I'll go into detail and explain it, because when you first hear it, it's going to sound unexpected, to say the least. It's going to sound like science fiction. But here it is. We have entered the era, the post-human era. In other words, we have entered, well, to say that correctly, we have entered the era in which the world's controllers are now actively attempting to eliminate human beings and replace them with robot workers. The governments of the world are now actively working against you. They have actively declared war on humanity, and they are trying to depopulate the planet. Now, many of you have already thought of this. You're aware of this, so that's not the new part. But the profound part here is what's next. Allow me to explain this. For much of human history, the governments of the world needed more people in order to populate and colonize more land. They needed pioneers. They needed the laborers. They needed people to build the railroad tracks. They needed people to work the farms. They needed people to occupy the cities and to generate tax revenue and to participate in industry and create ideas and advances that could be used by the governments of the world to increase their power, their military power, their economic power, their surveillance power. And up until just recently, the plan of the governments of the world had been to support the expansion of the human population. They wanted more people because more people meant a larger tax base, more human resources, and that term is key, human resources to exploit for their power and their profit. So all along, everything that you have read about human history has taken place in a very large chapter of civilization where governments wanted people to thrive, in essence. They wanted more people, more population, more growth. Even kings that would enslave their people, they still wanted more people so they could have a bigger kingdom. So think about everything you've learned about history, American history, European history, world history, the Roman Empire, prehistory, has been about systems of governing that wanted more people to be on the planet so they could spread more control and have more resources to exploit. Today, however, that equation has now shifted. We have now ended the era of governments wanting more people. Now we are in the era of governments wanting to actively reduce human population. Here's what we have. Every region of the world that could be populated with human cities has been populated with human cities. In other words, all the good spots, all the cities, all the regions by rivers and ports and areas where the soil is fertile or the ocean is nearby for fishing and transportation and so on. All the areas that are productive to populate have been populated. the planet is running out of natural resources, such as rare earth minerals, which are being mined in places like China and are running out, which is why some of the scarcity, or I should say the scarcity of some metals, has dramatically worsened over the last decade. We're entering an era now where the food supply, the global food supply, is becoming more scarce. We're entering an era where the physical space to house people in these cities is becoming so scarce that some people are now living in apartments that are barely larger than dumpsters. That's not to say there isn't physical space elsewhere on the planet, across deserts and icebergs and so on. There is physical space, but it's not in the areas in which it is convenient to live. We now have a majority of the population of the world living off of government entitlements, handouts, and subsidies. So the same government that used to see itself as being able to exploit human labor and take from the people now finds itself in debt to the people, owing people more than it's getting from them. And in the United States economic debate, we call these unfunded liabilities. And the unfunded liabilities in America are something like, I'm just taking a wild guess, I don't have the exact number, but $50 trillion. I mean, it's in the trillions. Unfunded liabilities, money that the government owes the people through retirement funds and Social Security and so on. Trillions of dollars. Governments no longer need all of the people. This is key to understand, and this is why I'm talking a little more slowly than usual here, because I really want to emphasize these important points. The governments no longer need these masses of people that they are now charged with tolerating from their point of view. We have robotics technology rising up with advanced humanoid robotics that are already replacing factory workers on the factory floors. And Samsung just announced a new effort to create robots that are so efficient that they're even cheaper than China's slave wage labor force. So if you look at the future of labor in China, it's a future without humans. It's a future dominated by robots. Even in America, you're going to see robots replacing long-haul truckers, for example. Long-haul truckers, yep. They will be one of the first to go, followed by fast food workers. Fast food workers are now annoying all the powers that be because they want to be paid $15 an hour as a minimum wage, which would, of course, bankrupt many fast food establishments. So it's going to be a lot cheaper to buy robots very, very soon. In the next generation, which is roughly 20 to 25 years, you are going to see a significant portion of the human labor force become obsolete. Obsolete. They no longer need you. When I say you, I mean like low-skilled, low-wage workers. Which is probably not you, actually, if you're listening to this, but you know what I mean. I'm talking about the masses of society. They no longer need the people because the people will be obsolete. So we are in the post-human era. Now, the government, instead of seeing you as a resource to exploit, they see you as a liability to be eliminated if they can. So this shift is what is behind the government's war on humanity. And when I say government, I mean not just the United States government, but the global government, the global controllers, who don't always agree with each other, by the way, but they do have a similar plan everywhere. And they are completely annoyed now by the mass of refugees that are marching across Europe. For example, hanging out at the train stations in Budapest and trying to cross the borders to get the free goodies, the free entitlements, the handouts from the generous European socialism states that hand out money like Halloween candy. And even in the United States, even though the Democrats, the organized Democrats, which in my mind are distinguished from progressives. Progressives are more educated and intelligent. Democrats are criminal, just criminal mafia supporters of the criminal political regime, the DNC, the Hillary Clintons, and so on. But Democrats, the only reason they want people to cross the border into America is because they want their vote. That's it. It is the open borders policy in America is really a voter recruitment campaign for the criminally run Democratic Party. That's it. After you vote, they really have no use for you. And in fact, they are, again, actively seeking to destroy human life and depopulate the planet. What they want is a planet that has about 90% fewer people, a planet that is run on technology that they control, with a very small, super wealthy, connected elite ruling over the, let's say the lower class wage earners, who won't even include fast food workers anymore because they don't need any of those. It'll be the people who maintain the robots and who program the robots and who run the ovens, marching the rest of humanity through those ovens to eliminate them systematically, all under the label of green living, by the way. Save the planet, kill yourself for the ecosystem. That'll be part of how this is put out there. So how are they going to accomplish all of this that I talked about in the last segment? How are they going to eliminate the human population? Well, it's easier than you think. It has already begun. There are really two approaches to this. One is the passive depopulation strategy, which has been pursued by nations like China, which essentially says, let's reduce the birth rate so that there is a generational decline in the population. In other words, you're not actively killing people, you're just letting them die off and reducing the fertility rate so that there are fewer people being born. Over time, of course, that reduces the net population that is living. So these strategies include, by the way, induced infertility. And if you look at how this is being accomplished, you'll find that there are some rather nefarious type of experiments involving medicines and vaccines, where they're introducing infertility drugs to people without their consent or knowledge. For example, we covered this on Natural News. A Catholic mission in, I believe it was Nigeria, that was pro-vaccine, and they were administering vaccines to young African women, as they do routinely, because they want to, prevent infectious disease among these women. Well, they began to suspect that there was something else in the vaccines other than the viral strain that was claimed to be there. And they had them sent off to a lab, and they found that there were infertility drugs being secretly put into these vaccines. And guess what? The vaccines were endorsed by the United Nations. Yes, indeed. The United Nations is at the top of the depopulation agenda, which also includes, by the way, elements from Agenda 21, if you are aware of some of that. So vaccines are one vector to induce depopulation. Bill Gates, of course, is a big vaccine pusher, and he has also been funding a couple of rather scary technologies, one of which is an ultrasound ball buster. It blasts the scrotum with very powerful sound waves, disabling sperm production for up to 6 months. And so he's been funding this kind of technology, and they're hoping to use that in developing nations where maybe they'll give you like a lollipop or something, or a hamburger for that matter. Yeah, here, have a hamburger or a Whopper from Burger King. You get a free Whopper if you agree to have your balls blasted by Bill Gates. And that way you won't run around and reproduce, which is what they do not want. And just in case you do, don't worry. They're going to vaccinate your female sex partner with hidden infertility drugs, too. So at the same time that your balls are blasted, her ovaries are shut down as well. So, you know, this is the leftist dream of green living, of environmental protection. Let's just forcibly rip the fertility right out of men and women across the planet. All right, so these are some of the things that they're doing. And by the way, these experiments have also been done in Mexico as well. Now, if you look at vaccines in America, you may not realize this is also being done in America. And there's only one vaccine in America that really contains notable levels of mercury. Only one vaccine. Well, I should say only one really popular vaccine. There might be others that I'm not aware of, but there's one really popular vaccine that's still made with mercury, over 50,000 parts per billion of mercury. And mercury is really, really good at causing spontaneous abortions. And wouldn't you know it, that a lot of women who get this particular vaccine, and I'll name it in a minute, suffer spontaneous abortions. And so it becomes really an abortion drug, and it is called the flu shot. Yep, the flu shot contains mercury on purpose, even though the vaccine industry doesn't need to put mercury into the flu shot. And how do we know that's true? Because they don't put it in the MMR shots or HPV vaccines or many, many other vaccines. They do not carry mercury. They put it in the flu shot because they know the flu shot is the shot that they're going to push the most, with the most propaganda, and demand the most compliance, and thereby they have the greatest chance of causing infertility across the most number of people. And if they don't happen to cause infertility or spontaneous abortions, by the way, they still win because the mercury in the flu shot causes a partial lobotomy. It actually causes brain damage. It lowers the cognitive function, the higher brain function of the victim that's being injected with it. And so this makes the population a little bit more compliant. And if they're compliant enough, they'll go back and get another flu shot the next year. And so they'll be lobotomized a little bit more. And this cycle continues year after year. And if you've ever noticed, the people who are the most brain damaged in society are people who have received flu shots year after year after year. They keep getting the flu, but they're too stupid to know that they don't need the flu shot, or that the flu shot is actually causing them brain damage plus higher susceptibility to influenza infections. So you see, the flu shot achieves many, many simultaneous purposes in a society where the government has declared war on humanity. And that's why people who are survivors and people who are awake and aware do not ever allow themselves to be injected with these toxic flu shots. Those people tend to be a lot more intelligent, a lot more awake and aware, and even healthier, and they tend not to get the flu because they have fully functioning immune systems. And by the way, I haven't had a flu shot in, I don't know that I've ever had a flu shot, actually. I haven't had a vaccine shot in a very, very long time, maybe since I went to college or something. I don't even know. Anyway, I haven't had the flu for as long as I can remember either. So, you know, this idea that you have to have a flu shot to protect yourself from the flu is pure bunk, total quackery, absolute nonsense. Which brings up the question, why do they push it so aggressively? What is in it for them to push the flu shot so aggressively where they demand your compliance year after year after year? Why does the CDC pay Hollywood to put pro-vaccine propaganda into movies, into Netflix broadcast series, into television shows and sitcoms? Why is there paid placement of vaccine propaganda across our culture? Here's the answer. Because one day, the vaccine won't be just influenza. One day, it won't be just mercury. One day, it might be a more potent infertility drug like the one that they gave to those young women in Africa. One day, they may secretly mix up a batch of influenza vaccine that they call the depopulation shot, but they're going to push it out to you as a flu shot. And then how hard would it be for the CDC to run around Disneyland, release some engineered strain of the flu, cause a panic, push it out in the media, and then demand that everyone line up to get this new flu shot that they have actually formulated with an infertility drug? You see? What we have been doing in our society, or what we've been witnessing, is practice for obedience. Practice for obedience. Line up to get your shot. Line up to be injected. Get used to it year after year after year. You're a good citizen if you get injected. It's a Pavlovian response that they are trying to drill into your head so that when the day comes that they don't need you anymore, you will also agree to line up and be injected with whatever chemical they want to give you, an infertility drug or even a euthanasia drug. That's right. This is the most efficient way for a government that hates humanity to dispatch a large number of people. All they have to do is take a deadly drug, call it a vaccine, and scare everybody into begging for it. People will even line up and pay for it. Here's $20. Inject me with that. And at the same time that this is happening, by the way, the government is thinking, wow, this is a great way to weed out the most idiotic people of society. I mean, think about it. If you're the world government and you want to decrease the population by 90%, you still need the 10%. You don't want to eliminate everybody. Who's going to build the robots? Right? Who's going to maintain the robots? Who's going to program them? You need the 10%, but you want the 10% that are smart, that are independent thinkers. You want the 10% that can think for themselves, that aren't just completely tricked by propaganda. You want intelligent people to survive. So you want to eliminate the 90% of the lowest IQ people. Who are those people? People who line up to get injected with whatever the government tells them to be injected with. I mean, it's sort of an IQ litmus test. If you are dumb enough to just hop in line and have something injected into your bloodstream because you saw some scary flu propaganda on CNN, then probably the world government doesn't need you anymore. That's the way they think. I want to be clear that that's the way they think. That's not the way I think. I think every life has value. I think every person has value. Even if they're not the sharpest person in the class, they still have creativity, they have passion, they have something to offer. I'll be right back. All right, and we're back here on the Health Ranger Report. I know that many of you are not used to thinking about the government as being your active enemy. Most people have grown up in a society, I mean, people who are adults today, have grown up in a society where, to some extent, you know, the government actually did want to keep them alive. Because, again, the government wanted to exploit their labor and their tax base and their innovation and so on. So there were lots of motivations for government to keep you alive and grow the population, grow the economic base, the GDP of the nation, and so on. So we have all been trained from a very young age to believe that government is our friend and even our protector. And to some extent, you know, every government is a national protector from a military point of view, and that is a legitimate role of government if it's used in defense of a nation and not in offense and imperialistic occupation of foreign nations and so on. You know, national defense is just as much a basic right as is self-defense of the individual. So that is a legitimate role for government. Yet the government that we grew up with is no longer the government that's in operation today. I mean, how many of us, when we were in grade school and we would go to school every morning and we would say the Pledge of Allegiance, remember that? At least that's how it was in my school. We would stand up and put our hands over our hearts, and there was a flag, an American flag, in every classroom. And we would all look at that flag, including the teacher, and sometimes the principal would even read it out over the intercom. They would say, you know, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and so on. We would take that pledge, and we felt, you know, we felt patriotic. We felt, well, maybe we didn't even know what patriotism was when you're in the fifth grade, but you felt a sense of purpose, that there was somebody out there that was looking out for you. You know, there were grown-ups in society that had your best interests at heart, right? And they were going to create a future, we were always told, that was going to be really bright and really amazing. You know, a future that was going to be great for humanity. We were never told that same government would retire, you know, let's say the Reagan-era government, in my case, would retire, and it would be replaced by a criminal regime one day in 2008, where the White House would be occupied by an actual enemy of America, where all of the top officials would be engaged in mass treason against the people, where every government regulator would be actively working against the people and working in concert with Monsanto and the drug companies and the vaccine companies and the other big corporations. We never knew that the government would become the enemy of America. And yet, that's exactly what happened. And now, that force, that enemy force that has occupied the highest levels of government in America today, that force literally wants to destroy 90% of the population of the world. And you hear this all the time from the World Health Organization associated people, the UN associated people. You know, Bill Gates, of course, always talks about depopulation. Ted Turner talks about depopulation. Oh, we got to bring the planet down to only 500 million people, he says. Or what about these virologists and these academic scientists who say, well, they want to be an Ebola virus so that they could destroy humanity and actually contribute to a better future. This is the kind of thing that they say. And these are, of course, the extreme leftist academic scientists who are connected to the Obama administration. They despise humanity. They hate people. I mean, they love when people vote for them, but that's really all they're good for. Other than that, they think there are way too many people, and they're looking at ways to eliminate those people. Now, what's important to understand in this is that a system that is actively trying to kill you, or let's say 90% of you, is never going to publicly admit that that's their goal. That wouldn't really work in their favor. No one's going to run for office by getting up on the podium or in a televised debate saying, yeah, we need to clean out humanity, get rid of about 90% of you. The other 10%, vote for me. No, that's not going to happen. So they always have to have this talk about claiming that they're working for humanity, that they love you and they're compassionate and they care about you and they want to make your future brighter and better, when in reality what they really want is a future without you. And that's what they really want. And because of this, all of these depopulation methods have to be described as things that help you. You know, hence the whole vaccine thing. at the same time that one day they might be injecting you with an infertility drug, they're going to say that they're protecting you from influenza or Ebola or whatever they happen to be playing with at that time. I mean, they can fabricate the disease, they can fabricate the pandemic, and then they fabricate the narrative and they fabricate the vaccine and they sell you the whole thing, even though it's all theater. But that's the way they get you to line up and voluntarily get injected with what might one day be an infertility drug or a euthanasia drug, a depopulation agent. It's so much easier than just shooting people in the back of the head. You know, if you got to dig ditches and everything like the Nazis had to do, you know, today's globalists that's too much work for them. They, you know, building gas chambers and rounding people up at gunpoint and, you know, box cars on the train tracks full of human prisoners. And, you know, there's a lot of screaming and everything. And today's globalists would really rather not go through all that trouble when they can get you to line up voluntarily. All they got to do is sell you a narrative. If you buy into the narrative, then you will go ahead and commit yourself to this process of whatever they want you to do. So, you see, today's government, at the same time that it is your enemy, it is also a lot more advanced in the realm of social engineering. You know, they know how to influence people. In fact, there's a whole department at the highest levels of government that works on social engineering and influence, the principles of psychology, problem, reaction, solution, the Hegelian dialect. You've heard all these terms because they're real. These are real things that the government studies in order to be able to manipulate people into doing what it wants. And I've already established what the government wants is to get rid of 90% of you. They don't need you anymore. I'm talking about, you know, a generation down the road, not tomorrow. But I'm saying it's coming. 20 to 25 years down the road, 90% of humanity is obsolete in the eyes of the world governments. They don't want you around. They don't need you around. In fact, you are a burden to them. And again, they're not going to go through the trouble of rounding you up at gunpoint where you're likely to resist. They can bypass resistance by creating a false narrative to get you to just line up to be injected with a euthanasia drug by calling it medicine. It's so simple. It's such an easy narrative, and most people are too stupid to see through it, or too uninformed, or too intellectually lazy, or, you know, really, all these principles of social influence, they operate on the need to be accepted by your peers. The need to be accepted is so strong in the minds of most people that they will run over a cliff if the rest of the group is doing it, is leading the way. They will do anything. They will inject themselves with a crazy, deadly drug if that is what's being called for in their peer group. So this is why the government will use social media, and this is why we've seen so many staged campaigns surrounding the vaccines. We've seen drug companies use their grandchildren of their executives to go on camera and fake these sob stories in order to push vaccines. We've seen drug companies hire public relations firms to post on social media hashtags like medicated and mighty, featuring pictures of young teens holding up bags full of psychiatric drugs and saying they're proud to be on so many medications because they need a little help. Medicated and mighty. That was an actual hashtag social media campaign. Yeah, pretty crazy. They will use every tactic of influence to get you to kill yourself or make yourself obsolete or infertile because it's so much easier than forcing you to do something against your will. You see, the regimes of the 20th century, they would push to control human populations by force. The regimes of the 21st century, They have mastered the art of controlling populations through voluntary obedience. I hope you see the difference. The 20th century might be called the century of kinetic influence, you might say. A lot of bullets were flying, and missiles, and tanks, and fighter planes, and you know, lots of kinetic objects flying around. The 21st century, all the warfare is happening in your mind. The government is controlling your mind by creating false narratives and using false media like CNN, hoax media, fake stories, crisis actors, staged shootings, engineered social media campaigns, you name it. It's all fake, it's all theater, it's all staged, and it's all being used to wage war in the new battlefield, which is your mind. That's why the greatest defense that you can have today against government oppression is not necessarily a gun, but consciousness. A sense of awareness is your best defense against all of this, and that's why so much of what I do is focused on raising your level of awareness and opening your mind to what's really happening in the world around you. Speaking of that, I got to take a break. We'll be right back after this break. Stay with me. So what can you do about all of this? What are the solutions? I like to end every show with a section of solutions, and this one is no different. I've already talked about your main defense being your awareness, your consciousness. But it's also your skepticism, your ability to think without the mental pollution of peer pressure and social influence. So the first action item for you here in the solutions section of this talk is abandon the idea that you have to be socially acceptable in order to achieve a sense of self-worth in your life. If your self-image is dependent on what other people think of you or say about you, then you will always be a slave to the manipulations of society. You will never be free to think for yourself, because a truly free person must break outside the box of what is the social norm, because the social norms are incredibly stupid. The social norms are programmed and engineered by the controllers to keep people down, to keep people ignorant, to prevent people from rising above and challenging the status quo. So the social norms are always the naysayers, the people who 10 years ago were saying, oh, no one's spying on your email, no one's listening to your phone calls. That's a crazy, kooky conspiracy theory. Look at those crazy people. They roll their eyes. You know, and of course, now we know that's all true, that the government is spying on your emails and listening to your phone calls, recording all the audio, you know, gathering metadata on all of your activities, banking transactions, phone texts, Google searches, everything. We know that's all true now. But 10 years ago, you were considered a social outcast if you believe such a thing. And that is how the system used peer pressure to make people conform. So you would have to conform to the peer group and agree that that was a kooky idea if you wanted to be cool. If you wanted to be hip and cool, yeah. I'm a cool dude because I believe everything that I see broadcast on CNN. I hope this is making sense. So, number one, just to repeat, you have to be willing to abandon the idea of peer group acceptance. You will not fit in with the average typical person if you think for yourself, almost by definition. If you are intelligent, you will at some point diverge from the totally idiotic social norms. And this is true. This is why every genius in history was somewhat of a recluse or an outcast or eccentric in some way, including Albert Einstein. Every genius throughout history didn't quite fit into society because they were smart enough to not be bogged down by trying to conform. And so that's why I share that with you, because I hope that can encourage you to be yourself, to be unique, to break out from any kind of limited thinking. Now, the second important action item is to automatically distrust anything that you hear from the government or the mainstream media. Anything. I'm saying anything, and you could get stuck on this. You turn on the TV one day, and there's a report on CNN, and it says there's been a shooting. There's been a shooting on a campus in, let's make up a place, Idaho, let's say. Shooting on campus in Pocatello, Idaho. And your mind leaps to the conclusion that this shooting actually took place. How do you know it took place? How do you know there's been any shooting at all? Many of the times when they report shootings in one place like Oregon, they actually show you footage from like Sandy Hook in Connecticut. You don't know it because you don't remember that they already showed you that footage 2 years ago or whatever. So you're looking on the TV, you think you're seeing footage from the shooting, and then they have crisis actors come on who are crying and sobbing on screen. It's the same damn actor that they had at the Oregon shooting or the Colorado shooting or the Boston bombing, what have you. The same people. So you have to learn to disbelieve everything that you see in the mainstream media or that is said to you by government. For example, you know, the government, every couple of weeks lately, it seems, we hear a report from the government that, there was a helicopter crashed in Afghanistan. You know, 5 soldiers were killed or 10 soldiers were killed. A helicopter crashed. Oh, man, that thing crashed. And so if you're stupid enough or gullible enough, actually, you believe that. You think a helicopter crashed. Well, what they don't tell you is that before it crashed, it was hit by like a Soviet missile or something, or an RPG. So in other words, it was shot down by the enemy, and then it crashed. Yes, it's true that it crashed, but it crashed because it was shot down. Well, the American government doesn't want to admit that any of their helicopters ever got shot down, so they never say that. They never tell you that. See, it crashed like it was a training exercise or something. No, it was shot down by the enemy, okay? They don't tell you that. And you got to wonder what else they aren't telling you. The government lies. The government lies so often it is almost incapable of telling the truth, even when it wants to. The government lies about everything. Economic numbers, completely fabricated. The government lies about budgets, where the money is going, all kinds of black budget stuff that you don't know about. The government even lies about this whole idea that they need your tax money in order to fund their operations. They don't need your tax money. They could create that money just like that overnight. They do it all the time. They don't need your money. The whole tax code exists to keep you busy. To keep you busy scrambling around for little scraps of paper so that you don't have the time to stage a revolution, basically. That they just want you to be so damn busy and so occupied that you don't have time to do anything else. The tax code is a system of social oppression. It is not a system to raise revenue. They don't need your money. They can make all the money they want. They do it all the time. Anytime they want to bail out a bank, you know, wham, there's another $1 trillion. They just created it, entered it into a database. Now the money exists. So let's get real. They don't need your money. Everything the government tells you is a lie. So you've got to start learning to be a skeptical, critical thinker. Anytime you hear something from the mainstream media or the government, the first thing that you should do is you should start questioning that, quote, reality. You should say, is this even real? Oh, they're reporting today that there was a suicide bomber in Lebanon. And most people just believe that. Well, gosh, they report a suicide bomber in Lebanon. There must be a suicide bomber in Lebanon. And they go to work and they talk to each other. Did you hear about the damn suicide bomber in Lebanon, for God's sake? Did you? Nobody's ever freaking been to Lebanon, okay? I mean, the people in your office, you weren't in Lebanon. You probably couldn't even find Lebanon on a map, by the way. You weren't there. Nobody you know was there. Your friend wasn't taking pictures and texting you photos from Lebanon. You have no idea that this even happened at all. You're believing a provably hoax media, CNN, that fakes everything. Why are you believing them just because they report something happened in Lebanon or wherever? They can, especially these things that happened overseas, where there are no Americans on site, you know, like some remote little village in Afghanistan. They have some story, oh, this is where we found, you know, Osama bin Laden in a cave. Right, give me a break. It's complete theater. The whole story about bin Laden, total fiction, completely fabricated. The whole story about Saddam Hussein, totally fabricated. It's all made up. These should all be categorized in the fiction category of history. You know, weapons of mass destruction, yellow cake, uranium, whatever they need to convince you at the moment, they will just fabricate it, make it up, push it as if it were true. The mistake is believing anything they ever say. The mistake is not double-checking your sources. You see, actually, I got to do a whole show on this. The human brain is hardwired to take shortcuts to making decisions and accepting beliefs. It's hardwired because the actual assessment of factual data is a very long, laborious, difficult process. The human brain is not wired to handle that kind of process, so it takes shortcuts. And one of the shortcuts that we're hardwired to take is to, by default, believe symbols of authority or figures of authority or institutions of authority. This is why doctors wear the white coats. This is why military people wear the insignia. You know, especially in like kangaroo nations, they're covered with colorful medals and ribbons and everything. This is why you go into a court, the judge is physically elevated higher than you. You're supposed to look up and recognize that person as an authority figure. And there's a lot of adornment and a lot of decorations surrounding authority that give you subconscious cues to your mind that invoke the hardwiring belief in anything that is said to you by a figure of authority. So most people believe authority figures by default. This is why people mostly don't argue with their doctors, even though that's probably the single most important thing you can do to save your life, by the way. You should be a pain in the ass to your doctor, and you have a greater chance of surviving. It's the people who obediently go along with what their doctors say or what their government says who are, by the way, the most victimized by both. So you have to understand even how your brain is hardwired as a human being in order to understand the limitations. You may find yourself even getting suckered into believing something from an apparent authority figure before you catch yourself, ah, hey, maybe that's not even true. Maybe they're making that up. What would be their reason for doing so? Now you can start to dig into their agenda and you can find out what's their motivation behind the fiction. So keep all this in mind and thank you for tuning in. I want you to survive. I want you to be aware and awake and informed. If the population is reduced by 90% by these people, I want you to be in the 10% that survive. And I want you to be part of the reforming of our society to build a better world in the future for real. Not just some nonsense hype pushed by government. Thanks for listening. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Health Ranger Report. Please support us by visiting our online store at store.naturalnews.com, where you can find the world's cleanest, laboratory-validated superfoods, nutritional supplements, personal care products, shampoo, chemical-free products, just about everything for your home and body and health that you might want, including supplements for your pets as well. Everything is laboratory validated in our forensic food lab, and we don't sell something unless it tests clean. I think we're the only online reseller to do this really extensive testing of everything that we sell. If we don't like the lab test results, meaning if it's not really, really clean, including with heavy metals, then we don't sell it, period. We have free shipping on orders over $99 and a satisfaction guarantee on everything that we offer. So check us out now at store.naturalnews.com, and thank you for your support.